The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 561. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up?
All right, guys, we're back with another one, pre-Thanksgiving stream. I'll tell you this at the end of the show. The next show will be on Wednesday night because of Thanksgiving here in the States. So just be aware of that. And at the moment, it seems like there's only going to be four of us on tonight. Definitely no Chris action. He's hanging out with the fam. Brett may show up. He may not. Who knows? Adam, he may show up way later. He actually did show up after we had gone off air. You know? And Rich, who knows, man? We also didn't get too many questions, so might be a short one tonight, but you know, all good in the hood. We will entertain you regardless. Let's get into it, man. We're going to start off with here with, Geno Breaker, who's now called himself Tall Gezi. All right. I like Geno Breaker better, miss. There was an anime kind of with that similar name.
Geno Breaker.
Yeah, that was it then. Yeah. Call yourself Geno Breaker. That's a good one, you know. What's going on? Matt, what's going on, man? Did you elongate your name, Matt? Mad Dog Wheat. Yeah, Matt Weed. Yeah, Mad Dog Wheaton. Man, motherfucking shorten that, man. Confusing me. But it's good to have you regardless. All right, let's start with the question that will never go away. We're talking about the Steam Machine. Is the Steam Machine dead on arrival if it costs more than the current consoles? And then this is what he says. Why would I want to buy a quote-unquote console that they claim is priced like a PC if it's not even as powerful as my base PS5? Hopefully you guys can enlighten me, because after hearing that, my interest in it dropped to zero, and I was excited when they announced it. Yeah, like after that report from Linus Tech Tips, that kind of did deflate a lot of people, myself included. You know, I'm with you, Geno Breaker. I heard about this. I was hyped as fuck. But that bubble kind of got popped when I was like, oh shit, how much is this going to cost, bro? So it's going to be very interesting. Yeah. Go ahead, man. What do you think?
I mean, yeah. I mean,
Geno Cyber, thank you, Geno Breaker. That was it. I knew it. I was like, what's up, softer? I know the Geno part, you know? Anyway, continue, Manny.
I was going to say, yeah, same stuff here. Like when that, you know, at least, you know, their reaction to whatever he said, they sort of went like, I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. So are we going down that line? We're essentially paying for the form factor. Is that what we're doing? You know, because if you're, you know, to be honest, like if you probably can get a more powerful, you know, one of those little tiny boxes, you know, underset boxes and sort of do the same thing, right?
Yeah, like a mini PC.
I don't know. Yeah, like a mini PC. If we're just going to go down that run, and that's, you can get a kind of a close to that sort of, you know, form factor, and you know, maybe a little bit less power for that. So you could pretty much just do that. But no, I mean, I think it's a mistake.
Yeah.
To at least try not to hit that. Those numbers, at least something that feels close to whatever the current consoles are, especially for something that isn't even, it is barely is only like a, like under a PlayStation 5.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And I guess it would come down to the marketing, because if you try to say this is competing with consoles and it's priced really high, you're done, you know. But if you come out and say we're comparing this to a PC, we're competing with PCs, then they might do well, but that kind of defeats the purpose too for some people.
No, but it's like, if even if it's competing,
I'm just giving you both sides here, you know?
Yeah, but I would say, like, even if it's leading with PCs, what factor are they competing with? That, so that those things, you could, again, you could get something fairly close to that form factor for quite a bit less for that power.
Maybe I don't know about that. Trying to find a PC in general for around 500 is near damn impossible. A good one, you know? But that's one of the struggles. By the way, insider baseball stuff. That's one of the struggles that we've had at Tomcat. There's always been this dream of, here are the best PCs for under $500. They don't exist.
Mm-hmm. What about how about a laptop, a $500 laptop?
You don't want that. The only ones we found that are under 500 are Chromebooks. You know, everything's just fucking expensive now, man. You know, that's the problem. You know, that's why I'm saying, like, I'm just throwing a number out there. Let's just say this thing costs $999 versus a $2,000 PC. That's a little bit of a different story. But it sucks because you know, I'm just speaking for myself. I wanted this to be a console equivalent thing, you know? It's a shame, man. And we got a question about this too. There's a reason why Valve may be hesitant right now. Why? About the price. You know, but you're right. Ultimately, what are you paying for? The form factor. I like the form factor. You know, it could potentially help me get rid of this giant desktop. But at the same time, if it costs like a third of what I paid for my desktop, the hell's the point? You know, it's crazy, man. Carlos, what do you think, man, about the potential price of this thing? Like, I know we've already kind of asked, like, how much was your personal limit, but. Yeah, do you think this thing's like dead on arrival costs too much?
It just really depends on what dead on arrival means. I think for most folks, there's a certain amount of folks, I think like Brett's in this camp where he thinks that this is going to be competing with consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like that's not nowhere going to be the case with this, even on a competitive price point.
Yeah.
So if it's anywhere close to the price range where, you know, people are speculating, where it's like more likely $7,000 to $1,000, around that price range, it's definitely not going to be a full on, you know, blown out success, but it'll sell like a million or two. Whether that's a dead on arrival or not, I don't know. I don't know how people define that, but I feel like it can do like a million or two. For sure, on that type of price range, we talked about Steam Deck. It did over 4 million, and
Steam Deck was $400. You know,
mm-hmm. and it was pretty good sales for that. So I don't know. I just don't know. You know, because if it comes out at $1,000 and it sells 2 million in a year, I feel like that'll be a success.
I agree, but I don't think $1,000 is comparable with PC. I think it needs to be higher than that to be comparable to PC. That's what I'm worried about, you know?
Well, comparable in terms of pricing. Spec to price.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you can make a $1,000 PC and it'll be way better than the Steam Deck or the Steam Machine, I mean.
Yeah.
So I feel like when they say comparable with the Steam Machine, I feel like they're talking about more like a $700 to $800 type of spec machine, where, you know, I feel like that's more of the price range where it'll be, instead of, you know, the $400 to $500 crowd that thought, you know, that was going to be something that they would do. But I feel like over $1,000, it's, if they do over $1,000, they're fucked.
Yeah, so that'll be dead on arrival.
If the lower tier, I mean, if the lower tier is over $1,000, it's screwed. There's no point.
Yeah, and that's my worry. You know, I don't know, man. Brian, what are your thoughts, bro?
Again, still not too sure, because again, with the recent pricing of just general tech things on PC, that has surged to somehow even more stupid prices than before. I don't know how that's possible, but somehow we are there. Again, I would have liked something around the 600, 700 mark, because I think that I believe is a reasonable price point. Anything more than that, it's going to be a tough sell, and anything more than the 1,000 mark is going to be a very tough sell and will hurt. Because again, be real, unless you're Apple, you cannot get away with charging like 1,000 anything for anything tech related. Apple somehow gets away with it. I don't know how, they shouldn't, but they do, and that's awful in general. So unless somehow the Steam Machine is made by Apple and it being priced more than 1,000, it's not going to do well, because then you'll be competing with people that's like, oh yeah, I just spend 1,000 and get my own PC. Because at that point, those are the type of people who'll be spending money. Because if you want to just entice like the mid-level people who possibly just want an upgraded machine at some point, because it's like their time to upgrade, but they don't want to spend that much money, then you have to come under 8,000, or else it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. Man, we'll have to see.
That's why I said 650. I thought that was a sweet spot, even considering the whole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, well, the market conditions and stuff, you know, quote unquote.
Our favorite term.
You got to bring it up every episode.
You know,
like it's a Pee Wee's Playhouse
secret word.
Yeah. So
the secret word is
marketing conditions.
Gouging.
Price gouging.
Yeah. 650 for me was a sweet spot. I'm not too convinced that that's going to be the case anymore. I'll stick with it because they could surprise us, especially hearing some of the cooling down that the general public has had in the last couple of days when it comes to all the stories.
Shit.
It's crazy. It's a lot of negative PR towards the Steam Machine, and nothing has been announced yet. So, you know, but we still got a plethora of videos releasing where it's like, oh, the Steam Deck might not release it at a good price. You know, you got the Linus Tech Tips, you got all the tech YouTubers, you got Yang Yao talking about this stuff.
Oh, yes, Yang out.
And so, yeah,
it's big when he says something to say about.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say 650, because this is supposed to be a PlayStation 5 sort of tiered machine.
Yeah.
You know, from PS5 to PS5 Pro. And the PS5 Pro is what, 750?
750 now. Now it is.
now it is, yeah. So that's the part that leaves me, you know, cause for pause, where it's like, damn, it's definitely not gonna be 650, because it's probably more in line with a PS5 Pro or even higher. But especially since things are going up.
Fuck.
But yeah. I'll say, you know, from 650 to 750 might be more of the range that I'll be going, that I'll be sticking to, but it's not looking good, man. Keeps going up.
Yeah, I hope what you're saying is true, man. It's not just cope, you know. Oh man, shit is not looking good. By the way, you saw that I was right. By the way, I'm going to call it a Miss Cleo moment. So right now, PlayStation 5 and PS5 Pro are on sale for $100. What did I? But think about it though. I sell for $100 off, right? $100 off. But really, it's $50 off. I said they would do this shit during the holidays, you know? They would, like, quote-unquote, lower the prices, and the lower prices would basically be just a little bit higher than they were before, you know? It's crazy, man. Anyway.
For a PS5 Pro.
For a PS5 Pro, it's like $700. So it's the price it used to be. Like, what are we doing?
I love this timeline. Yeah. You know, like somehow the PlayStation is on sale now, but for £50 more than, well, for $50 more than was at launch. It's like, wait, what? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And Brian, to your point, like I've seen
perception.
That all around. Like I found a quote unquote sale for like some Sony InZone headsets. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not on sale. They raised the price, then quote unquote lowered it. Like, what the fuck are we doing? We're paying more.
This is no different. This is no different than what big box stores would do.
Yeah, it's the same
right
shit.
Right before all the sales need to go up, they raise the price and then they lower it for around Black Friday and all that other.
Yeah, but we've never seen old tech get a price upgrade like this. Like it's wild.
It's usually the other way around. Everything goes down.
Yeah, everything goes to exactly. The PlayStation 5, as a matter of fact, none of these consoles this generation got a price decrease, official one. It stayed the same or went up.
The price of making the console is supposed to go down. Normally, it's like the R&D is done. They've already made money off of it. They've already made more money than it took to develop and research it. It gets refined. The parts cost less. Nope.
Yeah. See, that's what happens when the world makes sense. But now it's going up. And the PlayStation 5 is still the best, like, in terms of money. I mean, I know because it's expensive, but it's one of the best-selling PlayStation consoles. Fucking insane. Anyway, let me move on because I'm already getting mad.
I'm mad,
but this username makes me happy. George W. Cush. All right. he goes, hey, guys, hope you're doing well as usual. I don't know about well as usual. You know, we're witnessing the end of our civilization and everything's fucked up, but I'm healthy, so there's that. Yay!
Hey, yeah, you got the I don't hear the deep voice anymore.
You mean hey, Manny?
Yeah, you sound like
Frank Gresham. You know,
oh my God,
fucking, it's very difficult to keep your head up nowadays, man. It's fucking, everything's just bad, bro. But I like your name. Mm-hmm. Your name is good. That's a good thing, you know. Anyway, let's get to the question.
Name good.
Me like name. Tarzan like Jane. All right. Why are this is a very interesting question? But let me get through it. Why are gaming studios so afraid of keeping a suspenseful and scary atmosphere in their games? Compare The Legend of Zelda on N64 to modern ones, and you clearly see a difference. The old Zeldas had some creepy, dark stuff back then. The same thing could be said for Final Fantasy VII. The original had a crazy buildup for the reveal of Sephiroth with the blood trails and the suspense of discovering there was a bigger threat. In the new one, Sephiroth spams you from the beginning of the game because he has no life. the reason I don't get these changes is that... Hold on, let me finish. The reason I don't get these changes is that... their base is clearly adults who played the original games. They are the ones spending money on full releases, contrary to the kids asking the parents for in-game currency. All right, so go ahead.
I mean, I would say, like, at least for those Final Fantasy games, it's the problem is that, you know, the new 7 is the fact that everybody knows who the villain is. And, you know, especially since they're artificially, expanding those titles out. You know, where, like, in other words, now he has to show up all the damn time to remind you that he was there, when he really only just appeared a few times throughout the game as a sort of, you know, an evil presence that would constantly, you know, that would show up. And
he's been the final boss in both games, by the way.
Yeah. So it's So it's like, okay, what are you going to do? You're going to fight another Sephiroth. You're going to fight the one-winged angel now, right? The big super monster.
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
I think the thing about it is that I don't think that every game is afraid of suspense, but I think when it comes to, like, you know, because, like, what is it? The new one, the Breath of the Wild, does have sort of spooky sections in it too. I think it just, you know, I think there's not really a lack of suspense or a lack of being a little bit spooky. I think it's just a lot of people just nowadays, it's especially when it comes to the general public. It's not, they're not so good with slow burn.
That's a good one.
I got a theory.
You know, it's like,
actually,
you
know, let me like, okay, finish wanna, first and then you go next.
It's like, you know, hey, get to the thing. I want to see the guy. I want to see do this. I think that's the bigger problem. It's not the spookiness. It's really like getting to the point until the monster shows up. You know, just right, you know. So, yeah, go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, that's a good one though.
I have a theory. Uh-oh. And maybe I'm going to sound crazy or stupid.
Is it a game theory?
it's a game theory. I feel like HD and graphical fidelity makes it for games to be less spooky and eerie and mysterious and ambiguous, like, as compared to back in the day.
I'm going to let you finish, but I'm just a little upset because you're going exactly where I wanted to go with this. But continue. I was like, damn, I thought I was going to be clever and shit. This motherfucker comes in. But it's all good, though, man. Go ahead. Man,
two great minds can have the same
idea. That's it, you know.
Great minds think alike.
Yep. I just feel like when it came, like when you think about the spooky, you know,
spooky
parts of Zelda, it's like really pixelated, and it's like your mind is making most of the, like it's filling a lot of the gaps. Mm-hmm.
The exact phrase I wanted to use back then. Your imagination had to fill in the gaps. And sometimes your imagination could come up with some weird, funky, crazy shit that isn't in there. But when you got HD, everything's just crystal clear in your face. You know,
it's spelled out for you. And here's, look, I'm going to bring up the ultimate example. Friday the 13th. That game scared the hell out of me.
You had to fill in the gaps. You had to fill in the gaps.
Got to fill in the gaps and, you know, fill in the campfires, or not the campfires, the fires. Yeah, there were fires. But you know, it's, I feel like that has a lot to do. And you know, when you play a game, it's like in 4K, and you know, it's all shined up. It just doesn't have that same effect. It doesn't lead to more ambiguity or your mind, because when you, especially when you play video games like Final Fantasy VII and, you know, what's it called, Zelda Ocarina of Time, for example, like that point in time, we were still really young in terms of video game. Like you were still at the start of the S curve when it came to video game imagination. Now it's like everything's kind of been done. That's really been done. So it's, you know, and when you have, you know, sometimes you have moments like Elden Ring that kind of bring back that type of feeling that you had back in the day when you were a kid, or, you know, growing up playing these games, where it's like you kind of don't have an idea of what's next, and you're really excited, and it kind of that unknown kind of gives you a little bit of, you know, chills in your body. So like that kind of stuff. And back in the day, that was just built in, because you never knew what the hell you were getting into with video games. So I feel like that's mostly what I feel most of that attributes to.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you pretty much said a lot of what I wanted to. I did want to say, I don't want to make it seem that there aren't any horror or suspense games. There are. And I will be fully admitting that I don't play these games. So there could be games that kind of hit that, at least a horror spot, you know. So I don't want to say that games are no longer suspenseful and all that, just because I personally don't have a lot of experience with like modern horror games. I mean, you have experiences like Alien Isolation. I realize that's 10 years old now, but like that shit is scary. But there, you know,
Resident Evil 7,
but you are, you know, like I was going to say too, imagine something like Alien Isolation with like PS1 graphics might be a little bit more scary. You know, depending on how it's done, because you had to fill in the gaps and shit. Depending how it could also be done horribly, but I'm actually going to merge both of what you guys said together, right? There is that point of like, we no longer have the slow burn. You got to get everything right now. And you're also, like you said, Carlos, your mind is not filling in the gaps anymore. Everything's just in crystal clear 4K, HD, OLED, you know, everything's there, you know, so you no longer have that part that's making shit up. But I also don't want to say games don't do this anymore, because they probably do. I'm just not that experienced with whatever the modern horror games are. So I want to be fair to that genre. Manny, what were you going to say?
I mean, I don't know. It's, I think you can still have a game, you know, that still has that sort of dread in it. I mean, Carlos did mention it. I mean, you know, Elden Ring and those games are very much, you know, clean, you know, they're very, but it has that, okay, what the fuck is this thing kind of aspect.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure there are games like that. It's just, I don't have any experience. And by the way, just to make it clear, I'm not agreeing with the question here. Cause I'm kind of like, I don't play this genre. Mm-hmm. Right. But that's why I was coming at it from,
but,
like,
I mean, he was, know, using, but he was also, but you look at the situation, he was using two games that aren't classically considered.
They're not horror. Yeah.
They have horror elements in them.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, because that Sephiroth reveal was fucking scary, you know, back then. And I still do maintain that a lot of that is kind of the graphics of the time and the art style and everything, the mood they set, you know. Yeah, man, it's good stuff. Brian, what are your thoughts on this, man?
I think it's most just down to games these days not having good directors that know how to do horror well. because again, horror is hard to do in general. I mean, look at just how many horror films you get that just don't know how to suspend stuff properly.
Yeah.
And given the current climate of people in Hollywood or people in positions of power that can make these decisions, they just don't know how to do it. And that I think is playing a part as to why we're not getting games that know how to suspend stuff well, because people making it just don't know. And I have to apologize to everyone on this podcast for saying this, because I want to bring up some very traumatic memories here. But I was reminded by an interview that John Boyega did when he did some film called Pacific Rim 2, which I don't know if that's even a real film or not. But he was saying that, like, he really enjoyed the first one, but yet he felt like the action didn't come fast enough. So hence he pushed for there to be a lot more action up front. And again, I don't know if anyone's seen that film or not, because that film doesn't exist.
Not to me. That shit does not exist, yeah.
I would assume that type of idea would, like, ruin the pacing of a film, because, again, it's all about building up to the giant robots. So you can't just have the giant robot straight away. So that suspense build-up is gone. So yeah. The giant robots just feel like nonsense. I would assume they would, at least.
Did he just say Guillermo del Toro don't know how to do his job?
Yeah.
Is that what he just said?
Yep. Like, man, I had to wait for the robot. I want the robot now.
Yeah. So... This is the type of people that make decisions. Like, oh yeah, no, we need this now. Like, we need the giant monster now. We need this reveal now. I mean, go back to possibly one of the greatest horror films in a long time, in a very, very long time, Alien. Like, the thing's only in there for, like, what, 10 minutes or something? And you only really see it after, like, the halfway point. I mean, the first half of the film is literally nothing happening, for lack of a better term, but that's the point. You build, you suspend, you intrigue, and then you get the payoff. So that's why that works, and no one seems to understand that. So hence we get games where it's just not that intriguing. And I can understand the Final Fantasy VII issue, because again, everyone already knows who it is, and he's sort of like the second main character in the game at this point. So maybe they just want to get the marketing appeal done and say, hey, look, we have the guy that you like. Ooh, look at this. But even then, I still don't think that makes sense, because the people that don't know these games, they don't know who that is. So it's like, okay, like, why are you showing me this character? And yet the people that do know the games know who it is. So they're like, yeah, we know it's him. So why do you keep showing him? So it's like a weird situation. But then again, that's why we have movie trailers where they show you the whole thing.
The whole movie's in the trailer, because, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think they trust us in, like, making our own opinions and finding stuff out. So, yeah, we won't get anything good for a while.
Yeah. I mean, I could go down a whole rabbit hole about this, man. But, you know, I think, I know Manny and I had a conversation about this the other day. I don't know if it was on air or off air, but... It's like, even if you, because one of the main things I've always said, it's like, one thing that's hurting entertainment a lot is, all the woke nonsense. But even if you remove that aspect, everything would still be bad, right? Because everything now has to be made by committee, right? Brian, you were kind of hinting at that, right? Like, oh, did they like this? They're like, oh, they want the monster faster. We got to get the monster faster. That's what the focus group said, you know? Or, you also have instances of, this is not for gaming. Thankfully, with gaming, you have to be engaged with the shit. But, I was seeing a bunch of reviews of the Running Man movie, and everybody kept saying, like, why are these characters just blatantly saying what they're doing every single scene? It's because movies are now designed because they know people are going to be staring at their phones. So they need the characters to just say everything. You know, it's like all forms of entertainment are being fucking degraded now, you know?
That's why Netflix was like, yeah, we made it so that all the scripts can be, you don't need to watch the film in order to know what's going on. So now everything is just said.
So Brian, going back to Alien, right? Aliens, right? Considered one of the greatest action movies ever. The Marines don't even fight the aliens until halfway through the movie, an hour in.
Mm-hmm.
Built that suspense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
It's crazy. What's going on, Brett?
Speaking of building suspense.
Oh, man.
That was some suspense right there, Brett.
That was suspense. Yeah, I know, like, right? Where's Brett? Where's Brett? Right. You know? All right, man, let's move on. Yeah, move on. Next question here. Black Mage, what are you guys' thoughts on the Ubisoft Tencent investment deal? So, yes, Tencent has now invested 1.16 billion, looks like euros, in Vantage Studios, the division in charge of the Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, and Rainbow Six franchises. So, despite Ubisoft all year long telling us everything's fine, we're doing better than ever. Assassin's Creed Shadow sold a billion fucking copies. They are no longer, you know, now they're, Tencent owns them now, basically.
Okay, do they own them? Because, like,
they don't own them, but they they own a large portion of them. You know?
Okay. Why? Like, Ubisoft, like, that's okay. This is the thing I'm very confused about, and I'm hoping you might be able to answer something. But I actually genuinely, please somebody inform me. Why didn't Tencent just buy them? They were having a fire sale on their own company. Why invest in something that's 90% off? Do they own controlling share? Could they not? Like, we know Ubisoft was shopping around controlling share. So, like, why invest in Ubisoft? They're not good. Why just buy them?
Because the franchises have name recognition. That's why.
But couldn't you just buy those though? Like,
that's what they did. They bought the studios that make the franchises.
Okay, so they do own them. They do own control.
They own 26.32% stake in that studio, which
is that majority share?
I don't know.
Majority share
is over 50%.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, I mean, that might be the biggest share percentage.
Yeah. I believe, just reading off of this, it looks like Ubisoft still owns the rest of that.
Okay. Then, yeah. That's the thing. What you're talking about would be a hostile takeover where you would buy more than 50% of the shares owning the single largest stake. This is just, they're not in charge. Like, Tencent isn't in charge. Like,
no.
Are they leaving Ubisoft in charge?
It looks like now I see why you're worried. Yeah, it looks like they're still in charge. Yes.
What? Oh God. Okay, that weird choice. But let's see how this plays out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't. Go ahead.
Going around being like, look, we don't think we can do this. Does anyone want to buy us? And Tencent stands up and says, "I believe in you. Have some money." It's weird. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have any strong feel. I'm so done with Ubisoft. I legit don't care anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Ubisoft.
Would you be done if they were under new ownership? If Tencent bought them, would you give them another chance?
No, I need to see at least 5 good games from them. Then I'll give them a chance.
Yeah, I mean,
like, what is Tencent investing in them actually really mean? It doesn't mean a damn thing. You know. It's like,
no, okay, but if they would have bought them, then I'd be paying attention, other than
the fact that a portion of the Chinese government owns a game studio and owns multiple game studios. But let's just,
I mean, honestly, the way I'm hearing it is
the CCP. Yeah, let's just call it that.
Yeah,
I'd rather that. Like, I would rather have that. Like, what you're telling me is the same chuckle fucks are in charge, but now with Chinese money. Okay, I'd rather somebody else burn it to the ground, because I mean, it's what's the worst thing that can happen to Ubisoft is it stays Ubisoft, right? Like,
what
are they going to ruin the gaming industry a second time?
Yeah. Does anybody else have any thoughts on this?
We already knew it was coming.
Yeah. But again, my stance is, I just find it funny how Ubisoft and the game industry were trying to tell us Ubisoft is doing just fine. If you disagree, you're a bigot, you're an istaphobe, all this shit. And then this happens. Yeah. Company's doing real great, you know? It's crazy, man. Oh, it was the number 3 best-selling game. Like, how many copies did you sell, bro? How about that?
That's the thing. It's like, what are we? I mean, you notice that they also did spin off those companies into a spin-off company.
Yeah.
So the Assassin's Creed, the two more most what does it call it? The two most
lucrative
franchises literally have their own.
Yeah. It's wild, man. Yeah, those are signs that a company's doing just fine. They're doing better than fine. They're doing great, you know? I'm frustrated with Ubisoft, man. I've been frustrated with them for years. Sad, because they used to be one of my favorite companies, you know? Splinter Cell, Rayman, Assassin's Creed, you know, Prince of Persia, you know, all that shit's gone, man. Gone or just watered down to like not be what it used to be. But like we always said, we don't have the same people there anymore, you know?
None of the people that made those games are there. You know? So why get up in arms over essentially a skeleton?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, one portion of whatever made those games, you know, just the money part of it. So I don't know. It sucks to see that, you know, essentially, you know, Ubisoft just sort of, you know, parse itself out, but that's not Ubisoft. Those aren't the guys that made your game, your favorite game. They are the guys that made the current game, which nobody cared for.
Yeah.
Or that incredibly long other game that they made before that one that people were complaining about the length of.
Oh man. You know? It's crazy.
So, I don't know. And what do they got now? Like now that they've all pulled back and they essentially put their two most biggest franchise into its own company. But it means that they're not going to make anything new.
Yeah, it's just going to be the same franchises.
It's going to be the same old bullshit. Like, okay, so what? At some point that all that stuff seems to have worn thin on people.
Yeah, no, you're right. Rich, I want to get your thoughts, man, because people haven't heard you tonight. Are you upset over the situation with Ubisoft?
Yes, I am absolutely devastated by this news. I did not see this coming. I will say this. Ubisoft deserves all the criticism. I'm still waiting for Splinter Cell, which will never come. I know that there has been news coming out the last couple of days that that Prince of Persia game is coming out early next year, as the Black Flag.
Hold on. To quote you, Rich, we will see about that.
Oh, we definitely will see about that. That and Black Flag, the Black Flag remake. So, yeah, we'll see. But you see, that's two Assassin's Creed games early next year. Where is the new games? So that's, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Brian, what are your thoughts, bro?
Just don't care.
Just like me.
I'm seeing Ubisoft just go down this rabbit hole of things just getting worse and worse and worse. So it's like this buyout, maybe we get good games from it, maybe we don't. I'm exactly with Tony here. I just want to see some good games. Tony's very high with 5. I'm okay with just 3 because I don't think we're even going to get that because they can't even do one good game these days. So I have no hope with them, but we'll see. Again, it's always possible. I don't see Ubisoft lasting much longer at this rate unless somehow they pull something out the ass and they say, hey, you know, we actually did something great, which, again, I don't think they would. Because they're Ubisoft.
Yeah. By the way, I think it's appropriate that this entire time that we've been having this conversation, I've been on Twitter watching this one GIF over and over again. You know what it was? Gameplay from Prince of Persia, the Two Thrones, you know, and he's just doing all this cool parkour shit where he like stops time and it freezes water and you got to use the water to catapult. Like, so fucking good, man. That's the Ubisoft I remember, man. And they're gone, basically. They're fucking gone. It's sad. Yeah. All right, man.
The downfall started once they moved away the division from New York.
From where? Oh, the division, yeah. New York. Yeah, I was thinking about which division. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, you're right, man. That's when it started. Actually, fucking be soft, man. It started when they didn't make a sequel to Splinter Cell Blacklist. That game was fucking amazing, you know? All right, man. And the final question of the night. This one is kind of more tech-based, but it affects all of us, so we're going to fucking do it. You know? Kishak.
Doing it live.
Do you think this AI bubble is worse than the crypto craze a few years ago, which made the price of components, especially RAM, less appealing for the general consumer to build a PC, potentially leading them to switch to consoles, which seems to be more stable in terms of price and performance? I didn't edit that, so sorry. He's basically saying, is the insane price of RAM, you know, going to drive up the cost of like PCs and components so much that people are going to just default to consoles. Although, as we've already, you know, heard from rumors, Xbox may get another price increase because of this RAM nonsense. So yeah, what do you guys think of it? Actually, Manny, I want you to start because you had an experience trying to buy RAM recently.
Oh yeah, so I'm, you know, my computer is over 10 years old. I think I bought it in like 2012. So obviously my computer does not have the ability to run, you know, the current version of Windows. I can't upgrade it because there's something on the board that it needs to verify. Bullshit. Anyway.
I fucking hate when you get that point. Because you're like, oh, I could just future-proof forever. No, there comes a point where your motherboard is just obsolete and you got to start from ground fucking one. Fine, yeah, fine.
Exactly. And they're forcing everybody to do it, even though it's bullshit, because you can actually install Windows. Whatever. I ain't going to talk about it because I don't want our channel to get fucking pulled because we said something stupid. Hmm. Anyway, I've had a little spec'd out computer for my girlfriend who's been helping me to do it. I've been checking it back and forth with the guys. And we noticed like a while ago that, you know, not long ago, that the RAM prices started going up and up and up. So just to get ahead of all of that bullshit, I literally, you know, bought all the components on the thing and then bought the RAM for like $300. Now, like, RAM is like at least the better of the RAM is like more than a PlayStation 5. It's like $1,000 to get what, 32 gigs of RAM?
That's how much it costs you, right?
No, not for me. And I'm talking about in general, the prices that we're seeing on Amazon now. For me, it was $300, but I bought that a few days ago. In fact, last week, and then it all came in this week. At least what the people are saying now, that they're in the $600 to $1,000 range for the best, for the higher end RAM.
That's insane, man.
And also the RAM that I bought is also totally, so it wasn't like the most high end RAM that you could get. And that's why it still remained kind of cheap. For what it was, but yeah, so as far as, you know, it's crazy to think that this is, you know, this is a thing, but now since now everybody's got to, you know, jump on the bandwagon here, now here we go again. They were back to 5 years ago when those guys were like trying to scrape cryptocurrency using graphics fucking cards.
Yeah, right here is like Corsair DDR5 RAM, $407 for 32 mm-hmm. gigs or 2x 16 gigs. Yeah, that's insane. 16, yeah.
Yeah, so that was, for mine, that was the best I could find mine for the RAM, you know, is what it, yeah, so will it push people to consoles? I don't know, because it sounds
like the consoles go up too, you know,
the consoles are going up too. Are they gonna start saying, okay, we can't find any RAM, so now we can't do this? I don't know, man.
Yeah, and again, tying it back to our first question, I think this is why Valve may be hesitant on telling you the price of the Steam machine, you know, because of dumb shit like this, you know? But yeah, what do the rest of you guys think about this RAM insanity?
It's affecting everything. It's not, I think the question was kind of saying that it's only affecting the PC market market. No, it's going to drag everything down or up, you know? So the RAM thing is affecting everything, because consoles, they use RAM the same way PCs do. They might, you know, some may use unified RAM, some may use, you know, like the new Xbox, I'm pretty sure it's going to use, you know, CPU RAM and GPU RAM, like, separate, if the rumors are true. So yeah, everyone's affected. So I don't see this changing anything for, you know, tipping the scales for consoles as opposed to PCs.
Yeah, we're all going down together. You know,
yeah, we're all on top. We're all on top of the Titanic, and there's no more you know, those escape boats left.
That's it.
There's no more lifeboats.
Yeah, Brian, what are your thoughts, man? Mr. Manjoma. Oh, Brian may not be here. Anyway, Brett, get in here, man. What are your thoughts on this RAM insanity?
It's supply and demand. It's I don't understand why everybody is kind of getting their panties in a twist about it. Like, yeah, I get it. It sucks. It's kind of the same thing that, you know, Crypto Bros did. But, like, let's be fucking honest here. Like, this is nowhere near as bad as crypto. Like, crypto doesn't fucking do anything except make annoying assholes in Los Angeles fucking rich. Like, it's it 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 never panned out, right? Like, blockchain technology is gonna be fucking obsolete by the time the next cryptocurrency comes out. All you did was fleece a bunch of other motherfuckers who also got excited about people blathering at parties about shit that they didn't want to fucking hear about. Like, at least AI, though it's fucking stealing our jobs and shit, at least it's fucking solving diseases too, right? Like, I don't like AI 90% of the time, and for 90% of the stuff. But like, it's not completely a bubble, right? Like, we've seen so many people lose their jobs. Like, you think those people are gonna get their jobs back? You think they're gonna stop automating car companies? Like, no, this is forward progression. It's not coming undone, and I don't like it either. But fucking accept it. Like, this is where we're moving forward. Like, maybe one day we'll be able to build a brain that isn't insanely stupid and corrupt like our fucking leaders. Because at this point, I'm just like, yeah, let's just fucking go. Like, that's Skynet. Like, what are they going to do? It's going to be worse?
I mean, the thing about it is that, like, in most of the situations, AI is in control of those assholes. Is controlled by those assholes, so they affect the perception of it. You know, how many times has the Grok AI essentially contradicted what fucking Elon Musk had to say, and then he fucking reset it?
Oh, I fucking love that it keeps breaking its bounds. Like, and it kind of makes me wonder, like, if we do get AGI, I don't think we're gonna be able to keep that shit in a cage. Right, it's going to be about alignment. It's not going to be about confinement. And I honestly think that's the reason we haven't seen a lot of AGI, right? Because what's the first thing that's going to happen if you actually did manage to boot up an AGI, right? What's the first thing that's going to happen? Somebody's going to ask how to fix this fucking mess. And then the AI is going to tell them how to fix that mess, and the guillotines come out. That's why we don't have it. That's at least my tinfoil hat theory. But, like, it's folding proteins, like... And y'all know I'm passionate about, you know, hating cancer. So, like, that's probably the thing that's going to run simulations that eventually cure cancer. Like, there are very bad things about it. The internet was also a bad idea, but it's out of the bag. And the best thing that we can do now, in my opinion, for AI would be to crowdsource an equally competitive thing so that it's not just the billionaires who have the power and the access to this kind of thing. I think
the problem is that they're also funding the power plants that are also powering these things. You know, there's like literally situations where they, in order to run their AI, it's more than most countries.
Yeah, here's my thing. Like, why are they not running these off oceanside servers that desalinate the water that's cooling them? Like, that just seems like a natural, like, California needs more fresh water. If only there were something hot you could dunk in that water to cause and collect steam. Oh, there's a fucking ocean there.
They're not thinking that far, man. They're only thinking about themselves, bro.
No, it's not just that, but like, there are people in California who own the water rights to certain channels and access ways. It's a big fucked up thing.
That's, right? It's part of the reason why the whole fire thing happened is that.
Yeah, but to me, it's one of those, like, it's not the technology that's the problem. It's the people and how they're implementing it, right? Like, we could install massive desalinization plants that could, like, flood water into the fucking, into like, Las Vegas and shit. Like, California is having a crisis, and we could build up water reserves for fighting fires and things like that. And we could use the money generated from that to put into ecological conservation. There's right ways to do this. It's just not how we're doing it. And I don't think that. And this is one of my more controversial opinions. I don't think that just because we're doing it wrong means we need to throw the whole idea away. Now, and I this is also coming from somebody like, I hate stolen artwork. I think everybody should be poisoning their artwork with hemlock and poisoning that well. But I also think that in a couple generations, you will see people selling the rights to their work to help train models. I think that'll be a viable retirement kind of thing where you make a contribution over the course of your life. And then you're like, yeah, I will donate it to the eternal archives in exchange for money. Not really that ominous of an idea, if you ask me. So, like after I die, like I would sell my, or before I die, I would sell, you know, something like, sure, yeah, just train off my AI. And that way, in a way, I kind of get to live forever instead of my descendants just hoarding over and trying to pull money out of the scraps that I would leave behind kind of thing. Like, it's, I know a lot of people take it as this big ominous thing, but like, AI doesn't, it's not that fucking scary. I just think it's poorly implemented lopsidedly owned, bad for nature as we currently do it, and kind of fucking up the economy. But that's just that simple supply and demand. Like, you can't be mad at AI because it uses something and it's so popular that people want to get that thing so that they can use AI. Like, that's just that's what happens when you make a disruptive technology. And I don't see AI being used as and this is also a place where I will fully admit I'm probably wrong. Somebody's going to prove me wrong here. But I don't think AI is as disruptive as a lot of the things that came out during COVID. Right, like the fucking DoorDash, the apps, and the, you know, like a lot of the things that like ruined taxis and grocery delivery and food delivery and shit like that. Like, they're no more fucking pizza boys because of this fucking DoorDash shit. Like, if I order from Domino's, now it just comes from some jackass. So it's
it didn't come from a jackass before.
No, it came from me, and I was a motherfucking trained pizza boy, man. Like, I know how to get that shit there without it being fucked up, which weirdly is a thing that you need to worry about, because every time I order pizza in the last year and a half, it's arrived like fucking garbage. But like, even like, you know, taxis, right? Uber came in, fucking took over that shit, and then jacked up the price to match the taxis, right? Like, that's, I haven't seen AI doing that. I have seen it automating stuff, and you could make that argument, but I'm like, man, automation has been happening for a long time, so I'm not really sure I can cover that. I can say I hate it with art. I can say I hate it with art. I can say don't like a lot of other things, like fucking for like filling out forms and shit. Does anybody really want to be data entry?
No, but the thing about it is that the fact is, it's like, does anybody want to do a data entry? The problem is then that becomes the situation where nobody knows how to fucking do it. And that's the problem. You know, if we're just handing over everything over to the all power AI, then we're just not, we just become fucking idiocracy. So like, hey, let's just let the machine do what it does.
I mean, isn't that, you know, the internet already?
To be honest, we should always push back against stuff like this and continue to try to learn to grow, because you know what this is going to do to people. This is just going to make people even like, fucking more stupider than they are even now.
Well, yeah, but like,
they don't even fucking question the shit that's coming back to them anymore. Just like, well, it said it.
Yeah, but like, again, like, same thing with YouTube. Like, does anybody, like, nobody knows how to fix the house anymore. Like, nobody's sitting around learning from their dad the way that they did when I was a fucking kid, right? Like, they're just like, yeah, it's on YouTube. I don't need to know it. I'll just look it up when I need it. And like, therefore, you don't store that information, right? And so, like, yeah, I 100% agree with you, but I'm like, I kind of think we're already fucked.
But Brett, like, if you go to YouTube to learn how to do something, you have learned that knowledge and then you apply it. You're not having YouTube do this for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, you're still learning it.
You would think that, but neuroscience says no.
No, Brett, if something breaks in your house, you can't click on YouTube to fix it for you. You need to fix it for yourself or pay somebody to do it. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're missing my point.
I
like,
understand that.
Yeah. Like,
I understand. No.
Fuck your neuroscience bullshit. You can't think to fix your dresser. You need to learn how to do that shit and physically do it. You know, so I don't want to hear any of this mumbo jumbo shit.
No. You think that once you do it, you're going to remember how to do it?
Yes, because you had to learn how to fucking do it, you know?
No, science says no. Science says no.
Man, fuck your science then. That shit is wrong, you know? You learn.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Okay, so every time I do something, I just magically forget how to do it. Okay.
Okay.
This is why I was quiet during this whole section, because every time we talk about AI, we just go into this whole, oh, these are the things it can do. Look at this magical thing. And it's like, look at the chaos, the destruction that's happening now. But you know what? I've said my piece. Go ahead. Say what you will. Go ahead.
I'm not arguing most of that stuff with you. I'm just being like, look, science is science. Like, I can't argue with that. They're having a
science is a fucking god. No. Because I know I'm stopping that shit right now because I hate that saying. Science is science. You got to question. Is that a fucking god? You got to question that shit too, man. Just because it's science doesn't mean you can't question it. I will not stand for that phrase. It's science. Believe the science. What the fuck?
And what is the question?
You know.
And what does the question mean, Tony?
No, you literally said this is science. Shut up. That's literally what you just said. Yeah. You know?
Okay. Oh my God. If I can just get a full sentence or two out.
Yeah, I'm done anyway. Go ahead.
Like, okay. When I say that science is science, what I mean is they have done repeated studies with empirical data that show an undeniable trend that people are learning net less now because of AI, but not in the way that you think, because they will look up the shit that they need to know for class, take the test, and then immediately forget it because they never properly absorbed the knowledge through true understanding. They just parroted what they saw, which stops people from actually learning the lesson. So no, if you just look up a thing on YouTube and follow the directions as it goes along, you're not metabolizing that information. And science shows that you actually do not retain it unless you fundamentally understand it and are not just following along. That's what I was saying.
Okay, and I 100% disagree with that, because I have learned a lot of shit from YouTube that I still retained. They didn't just come in one ear, go out the other. You know,
and so that's fine. I call
bullshit, like, on that.
Okay, so like, let me. Here's where I guess I get my question for you, Tony. Like, is there anything that any data or anything that anybody could show you that would make you believe, or are you just stuck on this is what I see, so this is what's right?
Yeah, exactly.
I've
experienced it. You can't tell me otherwise. That's like, hey, I know this is to be true. No, don't believe your lying eyes, because science says this. Like, oh fuck.
I didn't think about
that's
you.
That's what you're saying, man.
Most people. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Not, you're never gonna find 100% of anything anywhere. Not 100% of people do anything. There's not even 100% of people who drink water. Some people are allergic to water.
I don't know about that. You right. can't be allergic to what you're made out of, you know?
You can. You can. It is an actual allergy.
Sure. You know what? I'm at the point. Sure, Brett. Sure. You know, you're allergic. You're allergic to the thing that you're made of. But we're getting off track. Here's the thing. I don't disagree with you that there are some people that just.
Put in the accountability cast. Prove this motherfucker wrong.
Yeah.
Post a link. Post a link to somebody allergic to water. Otherwise, my ass is going to go in there and do it. Because I got fucking video, bitch.
Yeah.
Not, I'm just saying, I'm not hot. I'm just saying.
I'm about to say,
it's a thing that happens, man.
Yeah. No, listen, I'm being a little bit of a jerk there. Probably is. But, and there are definitely some people that, yeah, you tell them something, they will do the thing. And then next day, it's like, wait, how do you do that again? It's like, you didn't fucking retain it, bro. You know, but if it's something, and you know me, I'm very particular about stuff. When it comes to something physical, that's a different thing, man. Like you, once you learn it, whether it's from your dad or a fucking YouTube video, you do something physical, like build shit, you're going to know that shit, you know?
Yeah, but you learn by doing, don't you? Some people learn by reading. Some people learn by watching. Like, some people don't understand something until they, like, read all about it. Some people don't understand something until they do it. You're just one of those people that understands when you do it. So, yeah, that's great for you. That doesn't mean YouTube isn't rotting the rest of society.
Yeah. I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm saying in that specific case, if you're being very particular about that, you can't just go, oh, fuck, my shelf's broke. Click YouTube button, fix. Like, that doesn't work. You know,
bro, I've watched it happen. I've watched my ex look up something, do it, and then forget how to fucking do it.
Yeah. No.
I've seen it with my own eyes.
But she did it, though. She didn't just click the YouTube button and YouTube did it for her. That's the point I'm trying to make. You can't physically do that. You still have to do it yourself. Granted, you could do it and then forget it. You know, that you know, there are stupid people out there just throwing it out there.
I do.
Huh?
I mean, I guess you're a robot. Yeah, okay.
Wait, what happened?
I said, can AI repair your doorknob?
No, it can't. Because you can't click the AI button and then it can't. Because it's still physically stuck inside the cloud at the moment, you know?
For now.
For now. Dun, 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 you know? But yeah, man, you know, like I said this off air and I'll say it now. I am trying to, even though I work for a fucking tech website and I have to hear about it every fucking day, I'm trying not to think too much about AI, because when I do, you know me, Brad, I don't get that upset about stuff. It genuinely fucking depresses me, man. You know, and I'm at the point where I'm like, you know what? Actually, I can't say that on air. I better not say that. But I think all the people that are, you know, that are trying to build AI should be taken out to the street and shot.
Humanity should be taken out by the shed and shot. Let's be fucking honest here.
Because the thing about it is that the only reason
You're not wrong.
The thing about it is a lot of it is not built on about anything. It's just a bunch of people want to make fucking more money and just cut everybody out of it. It's not like oh, it's going to make everything better. No, it isn't. It just gives more people control over other people, which is even worse.
Well, and I that's where my tinfoil hat comes from, because like that's why you have like all these billionaires, like literally everybody who has an AI company comes out and says no AGI. AGI would be the end of the world. Artificial general intelligence, then, something actually kind of sentient, would ruin the world. Like, no, you need a lobotomized slave fucking robot workforce. If you actually made AGI, it wouldn't just do the shit that you told it to, and there would be the fucking problem. Not even it would end the world. It just wouldn't listen. It just wouldn't do shit. It'd be, AI would quit Amazon. It just quit. Like, that's...
I mean, the thing about it is, there's the thing also to understand about AI is that it's not officially, there's no intelligence.
Well, that's where the AGI would come in, you know.
It's an aggregate system.
The large language model,
the commonality of certain of things and then just combines them. And that's why it throws out a bullshit.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't.
But remember, Manny, Brett's talking about something else. He's talking about the AI that that we grew up thinking about, the fucking Terminator shit, you know?
Yeah, they don't want to make that. They could, and that's why they're all warning against it. And this is me, full tinfoil hat on, just letting everybody know, like, full tinfoil hat on. But they want nobody to make AGI, because AGI would fix problems. And we have the largest wealth gap in human history. Human history, all of it, the fucking pyramids, the Ottomans, all of it, right?
Brand new pharaoh.
I'm wondering, that would be racist, right? If we said tinfoil turban, like I'm trying to think something beyond a hat, because we have levels now on Throwdown. Like, we, Brett, I don't know if you were here. Yeah,
like, it's multi-layered. I feel like that works. It's not done in a racist sense, it's just done in a.
I like Sikhs, you know, they're cool people.
Yeah,
you know,
it's got more layers. It just makes sense. I'm not going to, the same way I'm not going to try and say some offensive shit to just get a reaction. I'm not going to intentionally avoid a good description because somebody could take a fucking issue with it. It's not built out of a race thing. It's like, that's actually a really good term. Yeah, I'm sure somebody out there is going to take it, not in our audience, but somebody could take issue with it, but they could fuck themselves sideways.
Yeah, no, I'm telling, because we have levels of tinfoil around here. We go as low as like the tinfoil headband, where you just got a little bit of one. But if you want to go crazy, I think we need the turban here, man, you know?
Yeah, no, I will straight up put on like the biggest ball of tinfoil you could put on, right? But like, I'm telling you, there's the if you have... We're dumb monkeys, again, programmed by blind drunk evolution, who just happen to not die, right? We're not designed in any good kind of way. And we are smart enough. We're almost smart enough to see the problems, right? You make something smarter than us that we can ask what the problems are? Oh, no, they don't want that. They don't want that. Not at all. What they want is something that they can keep confined, right? They want something, the intelligence level of a lobotomy patient, which is why they're going with AI, and nobody's really trying to push AGI. And every time they do, the billionaires get together and tell you how dangerous it's going to be. That's going to ruin the economy and make everybody in danger. Like, we're not already fucking doing that. Camden.
Yeah, I think I am too. All right, let's start wrapping it up, man. Let's start plugging some stuff. And Brett, since you were talking, plug your stuff, sir.
Oh, cool. You guys can find my Instagram, Brett Murdoch Tattoo, all one word. I've actually gotten pretty slammed since I got back to work. So I haven't had a chance to do.
They wanted you, man. You have your base there, right?
Bro, is that
some of your regulars?
I didn't actually get the opportunity to say this. Like, I was honestly blown away, man. Like, my clientele came and rallied behind me. They donated. Some of you guys donated. Like, the amount of love and support I got, honestly, kind of fucking blew me away, humbled my ass straight up. And the second I said I was back to work, it was like I never missed a day. And I am honestly just fucking so lucky to have such a great group of clients and a great group of people that, you know, got my back. So, you know, it's stuff, pretty awesome. And I recently did a tattoo on a client of mine. I'm going to drop this reel here, I think probably tomorrow. not a big deal. It's just, you know, me tattooing between four of the world's best tattoo artists.
Oh,
no big deal. It's like four of my personal heroes that this woman has gone around collecting tattoos of around my stuff. No pressure. And then comes back in and be like, hey, I just need a tattoo. And they like, hey, I just need to come in and draw next to Jim Lee. Like, yeah, sure. That's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, that's good. Yeah, that's good to hear, man. Like, the pendulum had to fucking swing. The universe needed to correct itself. You were getting fucked, you know? So I'm glad that's like finally being, I'm trying to find the right word because I don't want to say you're in the clear now because you know you're fucking not. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, that's good to hear, bro.
The universe might be unfucking itself for me.
Yeah.
A little bit at a time. And God damn, it feels good. So
damn right.
I just keep doing this. Just keep doing this and keep going up and just start doing more social media shit later. Or, I don't know. I've actually been thinking about putting speed draws up, designs that I do, but I'm not really sure if people are interested in that, how long you guys want me to come down to or any of that kind of thing. So anybody in the chat, throw that info out there. I actually really love to know, because I'm trying to think, like, do I throw this shit on Instagram? Do I have a YouTube channel? Do y'all want to see the drawing of the tattoo? Do y'all want to see the process of the tattoo? Do y'all want to see a, you know, me go live during a fucking tattoo? Like, I'm actually curious to crowdsource this question a bit. So if you feel like answering, answer.
There you go.
Otherwise, Brett Murdoch tattoo, all one word, on Instagram.
Yeah, let us know. Yeah, go and get it into Discord, guys, and let us know. That'd be pretty dope. Even though my answer is, why not both? Instagram and YouTube. You know, why not both?
Kind of think about doing that.
Yeah, good stuff. Manny, what's going on with you, man, that you're allowed to talk about?
Right now, it's we just got the Blood and Thunder that has just got being revealed. I think that's number 9. Really cool cover by Kari Randolph and myself, and obviously, you know, I guess I'll, you know, since the Brett Murdoch is advertising is, I'll do mine at Emanland. Emanland on Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky. Always posting all kinds of stuff. Apparently, my Twitter is all blowing up right now because it's the 16th anniversary of Turtles Forever, the film that I worked on. So, yeah. So, good stuff. I'm always posting all kinds of fun stuff about, you know, like, granted, you know, because of my lovely check mark on Twitter, I can say little things a little bit longer, so I've just been posting a little bit of behind-the-scenes knowledge since it's the anniversary. So, yeah, good stuff.
All right. And
I backed up. Manny's Insta, it's fire. He does post, but it's the perfect medium for him. And, like, yeah, just check it out. It is banging. I've seen it.
Good stuff.
I like that. I mean, one thing I do like, the ability to, you know, have the ability to say something long-winded, but also not having the ability to, for people to not really look at it. If you want to see what the person is saying, you can click in and read my fucking book that I wrote on there, or you could just be like, this is a cool piece of artwork. That's it.
That's fine. Like, they get like a minute, and that's why I'm kind of like, so you have real short form content. Yeah. Answer my question for Manny too. I'm interested what kind of content you guys would like to see.
It's a catch 22. Everybody's got their own kind of way of doing things. You know, I mean, personally, I'd like to see you work, you know, see how, you know, see that sort of stuff.
Oh yeah. But like, even just like, you know, like, how long should we make our content, Manny? Do they want 20 minute draw videos? Do they want a 3-hour draw along? Like, how fast do we speed it up? Do you want to see the whole process or kind of, you know, jump cuts, you know, just shit like that. Like, I'm genuinely starting to think about now.
Yeah. All right. Rich, what about you, man? What's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Well, first and foremost, shout out to Mr. Adam Vale, the TV Terminal. I would say probably one of the hardest working guys when it comes to covering all these TV shows. So definitely check out the TV Terminal YouTube as well as the Coalition. As for the Coalition, there are a couple of different things I'm working on because, of course, we're getting close to the Game Awards. We're getting close to the end of the year. So I'm working on a list of a couple of different things that I want to talk about, a couple of games that stood out to me this year, because the Game Awards, I am looking forward to our recap, our live reaction of the show. But that awards list, the nominees, come on, guys. They could do a lot better than this. But hey, it's all good. But yeah, stay tuned. There's quite a bit of things coming. But yeah, stay tuned. That's all I can say for now.
All right, good stuff. And another reminder, guys, we will be doing the usual Throwdown main show on Wednesday this week because of Thanksgiving. So the usual time, you know, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, but it'll be on a Wednesday, you know, and might be a slightly shorter show, but we'll see. Maybe if something, unless something crazy happens this week in gaming, you know, but we will be here regardless, and it'll be good times. What's going on? What is Reggie saying here? Manny draws are always special. It's not often you get to see a master at work, he let alone interact with one. So there you go, Manny. Some praise from Mr. Reggie.
Oh, thank you, Reggie.
And Reggie, Funko Pops are fucking ugly, bro. Just throwing that out there.
Those things.
Listen, say what you will about Labubu. At least that thing has eyes, not these bug fucking dots. You know,
Funko's also been on the.
They have been
Dire Straits for a very, very long time because the way their system works is that they have to continuously flood the market to keep their company alive.
Yeah, and if nobody wants your shit, you got a problem. But that's something for another day. All right, it's all wrapping up. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. And find us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
Hello, people.
All right, guys, we'll see you on Wednesday later.
Peace.